This is the Super Sports Schools Podcast, bringing you stories of our future stars, powered by Spur Steak Ranchers.
1, 2, 3, go!
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Super Sport Schools podcast brought to you by Spur. I'm Alex White. We have a very exciting episode today. You won't be able to tell, but behind the scenes, everyone is on their best behavior because joining me is the CEO of Super Sport Schools, Kelvin Watt. Kelvin, thanks so much for finally agreeing to be on the podcast. We've been able to drag you into the studio. I'm excited to have you here to answer some questions and really dive into the story of Super Sport Schools.
Thanks, Alex. It has taken some time. I don't know what episode. What episode number is this?
This is about 65, 66.
65. So it's taken you 66 episodes to get me in here. I still remember the day well. I think you just left Rondebosch Boys and were in your early days at UCT when we met to talk about a Super Sports Schools podcast. And yeah, look at us now, 65 episodes in and one of the sort of most popular shows on Channel 216, and you know, very grateful for the work that you and your team have put to making it such a success.
And we're going to talk all about Super Sports Schools today. We're going to talk about 216, get into that and answer some of those questions. 66 episodes, but it's been 2 years. So it's taken a while. We're going to start off, I think, just by talking about where Super Sports Schools is at the moment, some of the exciting things, and we'll go through it. But really, if you want to just give a brief overview of Super Sports Schools at the moment.
Sure. Such a big question. You know, it's become such a big beast. It's so much bigger than what we'd originally envisaged when we set out on this journey. You know, when I look back, the initial business plan for Super Sports Schools in 2020 and 2021 was to produce 360 matches in 2020 and 480 matches in 2021, just to give you a sense. And obviously we lost the entire 2020 to COVID, and 2021, we felt we were in the right place to launch Super Sports Schools in the market. And if I'm right, we launched on the 28th of April of 2021. I think we had a couple of games. I remember the first game we streamed on the platform using our AI was St. Stithians against, it was an Eastern Cape school. It might have been Selborne that were touring quite early. It was like a Thursday afternoon or something of that nature. And we literally stayed live for couple of days, 6-7 days, and that sort of COVID wave number two, you know, the one that they called the Joburg wave when BBC hit. And that was the end of Super Sports Schools almost for the remainder of that year. But, you know, coming back in December with a lot of the technological advancements we'd made and our AI and automated cameras and our learnings around, you know, two cam mixers and our sort of MPUs, our mini production units, we were able to produce 900 matches just in 2 weeks in December of 2021. And I think that really gave us a confidence to say, you know, we can take this out. And to give you a sense, by 2022, we'd produced 28,000 matches across, I think it was 28 or 29 different sports. Last year, 2023, we did 48,000 matches across 42 different sports. And this year already, we've now gone to 47 different sports that we broadcast on the Super Sport Schools channel. So it's been an extraordinary journey in terms of content. Our teams, you know, right across the country, a lot of them are staff that obviously work for us at Super Sports Schools, but we also have in excess of about 50 small sort of medium enterprises, you know, some of them literally two-man bands, some a bit bigger, that produce content for us all over the country. And you know, now when I look at that business plan of 480 matches in 2021, we're often doing that before 10 o'clock on a Saturday morning. So the journey's been extraordinary. It hasn't been without its challenges, and I'm sure we can discuss a few of those as we go through today, but it's been fun.
And you talk about the streaming, the original business plan, the channel now that obviously exists as well. There's a broader ecosystem to Super Sports Schools than just what maybe was originally planned. And when I ever get asked about Super Sports Schools, people ask me, and I say, actually, the matches that are streamed and go to TV, there's some that will just be streamed. Obviously, not everything can go to one channel, but that launched in March last year, the 1st of March, that channel went live. And obviously, we know huge support for that channel. And give us a better sense of all the different sort of live matches that happen. Some get streamed with actual teams, for people, some are those AI cameras that you alluded to. People at home might not know how all the different matches get covered and what goes to TV and what doesn't.
Yeah, you make a good point. I mean, we have an extraordinary ecosystem that we've been able to develop in what effectively has been a very short space of time. Our original plan was to go to the app and to obviously build the app. You know, and all matches that we stream go to the app. So every single match that we ever film and goes to the app. Obviously, we do have some challenges. You know, power, for example, and connectivity can mean that some matches do get interrupted. And for us, you know, that connectivity, if it just dips for a couple of seconds, it stops the stream and you've got to restart it, unfortunately. I mean, unfortunately, that's just the way it works. So we have some challenges in that space, but all matches that we produce are on the app. And obviously the vast majority of them go live, over 95%. There's about a 5% fail rate where we need to upload them afterwards so that people can watch it video on demand. And those will typically be for power or connectivity issues that have taken place during that stream. We then, as you said, launched SuperSport Schools channel, or channel 216, in March last year. That's been an extraordinary success. I think the team at SuperSport, we'd always be massively thankful for their support, because they saw very early on by the numbers that we were getting in the streaming, and we would give them some content around some key rugby stuff or netball and various things, that when we did put it on the SuperSport channels, we got fantastic audiences. And it was really thanks at the time to Mark Durier, who was the then CEO of SuperSport, and Rendani Ramova, the current CEO of SuperSport, who said to us, "We think it's time," you know, and it was very early in our history, probably, to go to a TV channel. In fact, we're one of the few streaming platforms in the world that have gone from streaming to linear, where most people around the world are going linear to streaming. We were going the other way, which is quite unusual. But to give you a sense, last year, 12.5 million South Africans and people around sub-Saharan Africa watched content on the SuperSport Schools channel, which makes us in the top four most viewed channels, or by unique viewers, in SuperSport. Obviously, what helps the SuperSport Schools platform and the channel specifically is that we're on the access package, which means we're in all 7.4 million homes in South Africa that have access to DSTV over and above the app. The app has really grown in that period as well, which is, you know, we think in the last week of August or the first week of September, we'll be hitting our millionth registered user on the app. So I was looking at some data recently, which makes us the fastest growing streaming app in sub-Saharan Africa, and really is growing substantially. I think our growth in subscribers at the end of June was 78% up year on year to last year. So, you know, it continues to see that there's a lot of people out there that still haven't downloaded the app, haven't started using it, but we're bringing them into that ecosystem. That's obviously where the live sport goes. You know, on top of the live sport, we have so much else as well. You know, obviously the podcast and you know, the show that you do on a weekly basis. We also do a weekly show called Football on 216. We have Gameplay, which is a show that looks at esports, also on 216. And coming up soon, we've got a few other ideas for some shows that we'll be taking out. And obviously those largely go to the channel, but we also obviously have them available video on demand on the app. Over and above that, we started to look around the ecosystem and started to understand it. And obviously, if you look at the sort of social and digital media play, and obviously we largely catering for children and, you know, people under the age of 20-24, we know we needed to be in a lot of social media places, and our content team have worked very hard in terms of developing what content we send to X, to Facebook, to Instagram, to TikTok, and all those different platforms. So we use them quite extensively, especially for short form stuff. We use our YouTube channel to put a lot of highlights, and the majority of the highlights that we make each week are made available on our YouTube channel. And then together with a really interesting human that we met along this journey, Hannes Nienaber, we launched SuperSport Schools Plus. And Hannes runs an amazing operation for us. With him and his business, we employ 15 or 16 young journalists on a full-time basis, who write articles about upcoming fixtures, matches that have been, player profiles, all sorts of stuff. And I mean, to give you a sense, in the first 6 months of the year, they generated 1,500 articles just around school and youth sport in this country, which has given us the most extraordinary library of content and sort of written material that we can share, both in social, digital media, into the press and other places. But I think most importantly, it becomes that written record of what what happened in the school sports year around South Africa. So that just adds to that ecosystem. And we'll continue to look at opportunities to add to that ecosystem as we move into the future.
It's such an exciting ecosystem. It's an exciting one to be a part of. And I think sometimes what people might not realize is when you spoke about earlier on, 400 matches before 10 a.m. on a Saturday, the sheer volume of content that's being put out there, not everything is being done by full camera crews. There's some exciting technology behind that. And I remember when we first met, how that technology, how the AI cameras would cover a rugby match, for example, very often they would miss the conversion kicks because it had been trained to follow the ball and the people. And after a try, everyone goes back to the middle. A grade eight brings on the ball. So it just goes back to the middle. And versus when I first met you to now, the success rate it has of covering the conversions has improved so much.
Absolutely, Alex. I think, you know, one of the things when we were really thinking about what Super Sports Schools could be, we were very much stuck in a very traditional broadcast frame of mind. And although we knew that we could use mini production units to produce TV at a much lower rate, for example, of what it would cost Supersport to do, there was no ways that we could reach the scale that we've reached to today without our partners, Pixalot. Pixalot are the world's sort of premier producer of AI and automated cameras. And what that allowed us to do for a lot of sports was to have cameras that were either permanently installed at venues or mobile. But each of those cameras can be operated and run by one person. And what that allows us to do on any given Saturday or Friday afternoon or evening or Sunday at club football or wherever we are is just to be able to produce that much more content. Around the country now, we have in excess of about 310, 315 cameras of that nature, automated and AI-driven cameras that are deployed. On top of that, we have 64 two-camera units. So that's literally where there's two people, you know, running a camera and maybe someone with a mixing desk, so a team of three. Our mini production units, we have nine of those, and they're the ones typically we use for linear TV, that sort of thing. They typically run with crews of 9 to 12 people. Obviously, all of these numbers exclude the commentators, and I'm sure we'll chat a bit more about commentary, one of our sort of favorite subjects at Super Sports School. So this technology has been extraordinary in being able to allow us to do so much more sport. And as you say, the one thing about AI, as most people know, is the more it does, the better it gets. And when we set out on this path, the AI cameras had done a lot of court sports, so things like basketball and netball, that was quite easily transferable into water polo, for example, although glare, for example, in water polo is a massive problem, you know, whether you with any cameras, it's a very difficult thing. And the nature of school sports is you can often start in the morning and finish in the afternoon. So at some stage, your cameras, whether it's your best camera crews or your AI, something's always looking into the sun, for example, in water polo, and we have to work through those challenges. But as you say, you know, the AI struggled with rugby. The data scientists behind it were quite funny in our early days working with them. They said they ran all the maths and rugby made no sense to them. It was one game that just, you know, everything they'd taught AI about sport rugby just didn't match. And so, for example, to give people a sense, the cameras pick up everything that happens in 180 degrees on a field. And typically what they do is they obviously focus in and out around the action and various things. But when a ball disappears, they're taught to go wide because normally when the ball's disappeared, it's left the field of play. Except in rugby, when the ball disappears, it typically reappears where it disappeared. And so to teach the AI to do the absolute opposite took 6 months to do. And it was quite a process. And as you said, things like conversions made no sense to the AI because suddenly a whole team would sort of go back to the halfway line. One person would stay with the ball and the other team would all go and huddle somewhere else. And often in the context of schoolboy rugby, which you don't necessarily see in professional sport, a whole lot of grade eights are running on the field with water bottles and another ball and the coaches are on the field and racing. So it really confused the AI a lot. And we've had to spend a lot of time working with the team at Pixalot around things like that. In hockey, we had similar things around short corners, a very unusual type of thing that happens in sport. And one of the things that was taking place, which we found, was actually an umpiring error that was leading to an issue at the short corners. And what that error was, if, I know you know nothing about hockey, although since you to meet Tahiro Augusti and a few of your mates, you've taken a bit more of an interest in the game. But the defending players that aren't involved in the short corner go back to the halfway line, and they should only break the line once the ball is in play. What we found is over 80% of the time, those players were breaking the line before the ball was played. And the AI, would go back to see why they were moving, and then it would miss the ball being played just seconds after. And actually what was happening is the umpires weren't actually taking care of what needed to happen there. So what we've realized is, unfortunately, the umpires aren't going to get that right, and they're certainly not going to get it right 100% of the time. So we've had to completely train the AI that in a short corner environment, completely ignore everyone else on the field and focus only on the ball and the players within the D. And that took some time. You know, we set up some cameras at the Pixelot offices or at their factory, and they literally had they focused it on a TV so that the camera from the TV was the same as if it was on a field of play. And they basically played matches over and over and over again for 6 months on six screens, 24 hours a day, to teach their AI to be able to understand those. And that's sort of the process that you have to go through to get that. And we're really pleased this year is the first time that we believe the AI from a rugby and a hockey perspective is good enough to carry the product. But for example, we haven't been able to teach at sevens. It's really, the AI is still not ready for sevens. We're doing a lot of work around that. We don't think it'll be ready for this year, so we'll still use our two cams there. And unfortunately, things like athletics and swimming and those sort of things is very difficult for AI to do, but it really has been it just changed our world in terms of, you know, the court sports, things like water polo, basketball, tennis, squash, all of those where we're able to employ, our automated and our AI-driven cameras. And it allows us to give South Africans and those around the world the breadth of content that we're able to, because at any other cost point, it would just be impossible.
Mm, absolutely. And it covers so much. And like you've said, over 40 different sports. And the AI, really, the opportunity it has, because a lot of people don't know that it covers that 180-degree view.
Yep.
And it's not actually a camera moving. It covers the whole view and then artificially zooms in and out and
decides what it shows you. So the good thing is, most of the cameras either have four or three actual cameras.
Yes.
And what the AI does, and in the cloud, it then mixes those images into one. It knits those four pictures together and then produces as a production crew do what you see. And I think what's most important about that, or what's quite critical, is that we film everything in 180 degrees. So in our library, we have matches that we filmed 2 years ago that are filmed in 180. And as the AI improves, we can play those matches versus the AI and reproduce them and improve the production of them.
Yeah.
When you're filming with handheld or man-held cameras and you've mixed it at the desk, you've got what you've got. You can't go back and, re-edit what's there. You've shot what you've shot, and what you've missed. So the beauty on the AI stuff is we've captured everything that's happened on that 180 degrees. And if we need to, we can go back and, apply.
But also
a better version of AI, or for disciplinaries, So for example, we've had issues where something's happened off screen, but actually we've captured it. And we happened twice. I'm not going to mention where they were. One or two were quite controversial, but we had it on footage. And, when the schools wanted to look and see what happened, although it was right off the ball, they were able to go back and look at that.
And on the app, on the website, I've gone before and toggled to the 180 degree view, which I think is quite useful for coaches, especially coming from a rugby point of view. You're able to see a better overview of the field. And I think the opportunity of super sports schools, and we talk about this a lot on the show, extends to so much more than just watching people play. The opportunity there for me, I'm a ref in the Western Province Rugby Union. I often referee school matches that get streamed. I can go back. I can watch it. Amy Barataron is great with the junior refs. I can send her clips and say, what do you think about this? Where was I standing in the right place? That sort of thing. And we're able to discuss and improve. Obviously, the coaches for the sports are able to do that. You're getting schools watching their opponents for the next weekend and seeing what they're going to do, how they're going to combat things. So there's really a whole lot of opportunity there for everyone.
Absolutely, Alex. And I think you make a good point. I mean, I don't think we probably don't do always a good enough job telling people about all the things they can do on the app. And the panoramic view, as you said, is something that anyone can go to at any stage. And it's where we've spoken to coaches in hockey and rugby, football particularly, a couple of others as well, where they find it the most useful is when they go to the 360 degrees. And let's take a rugby example. The play might be, all up in 122 or whatever, and the fullback is not in the picture. But they're able to go and show him and say where he should have been positionally, where he was out of play, because maybe, there was in a defensive kick and he was out of play and it bounced and went into touch. And now the defensive team is, got right out of defense and sort of onto attack. Whereas had he been in the right place, he might have caught it and they would have been back on attack. similarly, the hockey coaches, and you know, I know you've heard it from me, and I mean, those people who know me well will know that hockey is one of my first love. The hockey coaches for us have been the most technologically advanced with us. They've been the ones that have worked the most closely with us, and they pick up things quicker than even our team on stuff, and they've used it extensively around the country to really have a look at the defensive systems, at different presses and all of that. So not always relying on the view of what they're being produced, but going on to that panoramic view and really having a look at their own defensive presses, or for example, as you say, teams that they're coming up against and seeing how they set up defensively, for example, and being prepared for that.
And one of the things I mentioned when I said, use my example and said, I'll send clips to Amy, that's not something that's complicated to do either, because the app, the website, it has clipping built in. You're able to download that clip, share it on WhatsApp, send it super easily, social media. It can be out there within minutes of it happening, and you can clip live sport. It doesn't even need to be video on demand.
Absolutely, you can do it live. I mean, my 75-year-old mother is probably one of the biggest viewers of Super Sport School. She loves to, and if my son or my nephew or my daughter or my niece or any of them have, you know, scored goals or tries or made tackles or done anything in the world of sport, trust me, it's on the family WhatsApp group before you can sort of blink. She's edited it live in play, clipped it and stuck it on the group, and, you know, or on her Facebook page. My kids, you know, they cringe a bit every now and again when their goals are out on Facebook and all of Granny's friends are having a look and commenting on their abilities, you know. But, you know, that's just what we love about the platform, because it's allowed so many families to connect with their own children, with their grandchildren, you know, with each other. You know, my brother and sister-in-law live in the Western Cape and their kids are there. I don't get to see them play except on the app, you know, except, you know, without a very big journey. So, you know, to be able to keep in touch like that or get the highlights of their games on the WhatsApp group later on, the family is incredible. And research we did recently with our users showed that 71% of our nearly just short of a million users have used that functionality and use it relatively regularly, largely to WhatsApp. They obviously use it in other places, and coaches and people are obviously a lot more sophisticated. Yeah. But even the coaches use it in team WhatsApp groups, you know, quick, you know, highlights for a particular player, whether it's a one-on-one or whether it's a team situation, using the WhatsApp groups quite extensively to share those clips.
Well, another example I can pull from a refereeing point of view is we had under-16 tournaments in Paarl at the start of the year, February, when it's very much the start of the season. And there were quite a few of the sort of high division referees and then some of the referees that the coaches are looking at. And we had a WhatsApp group going that was on Super Sport Schools, and there were several matches a day, and we'd ref AR and everything. And there were clips coming onto that group the entire time from the coaches about, this was good, we need to be more like this, this was a poor decision, like constantly talking to us, and we can all see that. So it really has so many uses. And I think I also want to talk about Super Sport Schools, the opportunities it gives to people, not just you getting to see yourself on TV or parents are getting to see their kids, but also their commentators, there are suppliers, there are all sorts of people behind the scenes that are involved. And we spoke about the AI camera that needs one person to operate. But also if it's sitting at a school, the school can plug in their commentators and they can commentate the match as it goes out on the app and on the website. And then sort of at the higher level on TV, giving future commentators, hopefully for Super Sport a chance on Super Sport Schools. So maybe to touch on the commentary, you said it's something that excites us a lot.
Yeah, you know, I think it's something that we've always seen from the beginning is obviously commentary adds a huge amount of value to any sporting event, you know. And I mean, I think we all, you know, have those Peter Juries or the people in the world that you just absolutely love to listen to, and they add enormous amount of value. But in the Super Sport Schools environment, particularly what we find is where we can find commentators that really come from those particular communities or schools. They know the kids, they know the families. They're able to give us so much more sort of depth and insight into what's going on. You know, they're not necessarily there as pundits, you know, to really tell you what you're seeing and technically the extent that you would expect when you're watching Super Sport, for example. But they're often there to just give you the flavor of what's going on and to tell you a bit more about who these kids are, you know, who the families they come from. You know, we always have a joke with our commentators. Most of them laugh that most of the talented kids actually come from talented mothers. It's a bit of a joke that we have internally, because typically we often sort of see that kid's talent, where'd that come from? And it, you know, comes often from the mother's side, not just the father. And obviously a few of them don't like that particular joke, and particular fathers in particular that we talk to on the side. I won't mention any names here, but the few of them will know who I'm speaking about. But you know, as well, we found some wonderful talent in people. And as you said, there's a lot of kids and saying, look, you know, you might make it or you might not make it as a sports person, but whether you are a talented sportsman or not, you may also want the opportunity to commentate on the game and to do that. And we've unearthed some real gems in that respect. And I think recently you had Massive from Dale College on, yeah. who's been a revelation this year. He's been just incredible in terms of what he's done for us down at Dale this year. You know, and I think everyone who's ever watched Super Sports Schools will know Mr. Scrumptious from Selborne. You know, so they two boys will be matriculating this year. And, you know, we hope to find a lot more of that talent. And we have had, I mean, I think they've just stood out because of their passion and dedication and just how we've worked very closely with them. But over and above that, we found a lot of other people in the communities of all ages, you know, even people that are retired and go, you know what, all of my life, all I wanted to do was commentate, but I had another job or another career and it just wasn't there for me.
Yeah.
And they've become some of our most wonderful commentators and sort of community, you know, within the Super Sports Schools community. They provide a huge amount of insight. A lot of them have enormous amount of knowledge about the schools, the players, the families, the communities, which they're able to share with our viewers. And that's the one thing that we really try to talk to our commentators about, is to say, you know, talk to us about what's important in that particular community. And you know, an example that really always have a bit of a chuckle. We were doing some hockey out of St. Anne's down in the Midlands, probably last year, actually. It wasn't even this year. And it just happened to be the same day as the matric dance at St. Anne's. And the two girls who were commentating on the first team girls match were second team players. And sort of halfway through the first half, they got completely waylaid and started talking about each of the girls in the first team and what they were wearing and dresses. And the one nearly got hit in the face. And they were sort of panicking that, yeah, she was going to get hit with a hockey stick just before her matric dance. And it went on for 10 or 15 minutes. And, you know, a lot of people came to us and, you know, they sort of apologized for it and were saying, well, we actually loved that, because at that time, that day, that was the most important thing happening at St. Anne's, was the matric dance. So to have that commentary and to give that flavor of what was going on
is great.
It's exactly what we're looking for.
Bringing you the sport you care about the most, this is the Super Sports Schools Podcast. You might call it living your best life, but we call it Spur Cheeseburger Mondays. Because for only $84.90, Mondays become legendary when you can choose between 100% pure beef, succulent chicken, delicious soya, or tender rib cheeseburger, all served with Spur-style crispy onion rings and golden chips. So, when life gives you Mondays, enjoy a Spur cheeseburger. T's and C's apply. Spur, people with a taste for life.
Bringing you the sport you care about the most, this is the Super Sports Schools Podcast.
Well, we're going to talk a little bit more about some of the other parts of Super Sports Schools, what we're looking forward to, but we couldn't get you in here without you taking part in our various games that we have.
That's probably the reason I haven't come, Alex. Stay out of your games. That won't be last on the log, eh?
Always have to. Well, the first one, there's no leaderboard. So it's just pride. That's all it is the first game. As the Olympics will be done, but we've been talking a lot about the Olympics on the show this whole year, talking about some of the weird and wonderful sports. And I think it's appropriate that Super Sports Schools has streamed so many weird and wonderful sports to have to play Is, Was, Never with you. So all I'm going to tell you is a sport, and you just have to tell me, is it Olympic? Was it Olympic? Has it never been Olympic?
Cool.
That's simple.
Do that. Talking about the Olympics, you know that we've had 47 sports on the platform. There's only 35 sports at the Olympics. Hope that's not one of your questions.
No.
Anyway.
No.
But so we pride ourselves on showing more diverse sports than the Olympics.
Yeah. There we go. First one, live pigeon shooting. Is, was, never.
Was.
Yeah. 1900. It's the only time it's ever been held. And the winner was whoever just shot down the most pigeons. I don't think that would go down well today, but in 1900 they held it. 10-pin bowling.
Never.
Yep. 2 from 2. Never. It's taken parts. It's happened in the Asian Games, but never in the Olympic Games. Rope climbing.
Rope climbing.
Yep.
Was.
Yep. In the early 20th century, it was just a rope that just hung and you had to get up as quick as possible. Handball.
Handball is.
There we go, 4 from 4. And then the last one is solo synchronized swimming. solo synchronized swimming.
How can you be synchronized if you're solo? I'm going to go never because it sounds impossible, but it probably is.
Was. You're synchronized with the music.
Oh,
yeah.
So then it's more like dancing.
I thought, well, I'm
happy to get that one wrong.
4 from 5. Okay, not bad. So I'm expecting big things from the quiz later.
That's much harder.
Well, it depends how nice I've been the questions. But those are some weird and wonderful sports. The sports and super sports schools. What would you say is the sport that sort of surprised you the most in the viewership, the engagement that it's got on the platform? Are there a couple sports there that do really well? I think when I talk to people, they're often surprised that netball is one of the top sports. Obviously, hockey's huge. Anything that surprises you?
Look, I think when we set out to do a lot of school sports, I mean, the very early days of super sports schools, before we sort of, you know, even when it was School Sports Live and before we turned it into super sports schools, was largely boys sport and rugby focused and things like that. So I think from the outset, we definitely knew that schoolboy rugby had a massive part to play. We had a hunch that there would be, if we could find the right football leagues and events, that they would be. And I think thankfully there we've made some massive steps. We've started to find some really good football content, both for boys and girls in you know, across the country. Not always as much as we'd like, and it's something that we're working very hard on. But the one surprising one there, just in its sheer volume, is the Gauteng Development League. It's done extraordinarily well. And you know, to give you a sense, we on Sundays, that's pretty much what we show on the Super Sports Schools channel. On 216, we do one of the rounds of fixtures. And the Gauteng Development League on a Sunday, for example, we'll have an under 13, an under 15, under 17, and a 19 match for about 34 Sundays through the year, starting about March to November. Last year, we got 42 million, you know, viewers, cumulative viewers across that content. I mean, it's just extraordinary. And yes, you know, you've got some wonderful teams like Kaizer Chiefs, Mamelodi Sundowns, Supersport United, and you know, some of the other teams that play in that league. So, you know, it's not surprising. They're massive football brands, but they're kids, you know, and it's done really incredibly well. But I think going into this, the one sport that probably scared us the most was athletics. And simply because there's so much going on in an athletics field, so many children involved, so much recording that needs to take place to be able to monitor who's come first, second, third. Because I can tell you one thing in super sports schools, if we have little Alex running in lane 3 and we call him John, we tell you, Mrs. White is on the phone to us saying, hey, you know, you got it wrong. And athletics is complex in that it also doesn't take place within a field. Have field events and
track,
things like that.
Everything's happening everywhere.
So it's really difficult. And often you go to these school meets and they'll run sort of age group 100 meters. And by the time the kids are finishing, the next lot are starting and various stuff. So it was a massive challenge to us. And I'll come back and tell you a bit about how we solved it. But it really has been a surprise. And the audiences and the viewership that we get for athletics on Super Sports Schools completely blew us away at Super Sport, and it continues to do so. On the streaming platform, I think it's now responsible for 6 of our 10 biggest streams of all time. On the channel, on channel 216 as well. So, you know, it's done incredibly well and continues to do well. And we expect some really big things. And you know, we've recently partnered with Matt Quinn and the team to launch track and field. TNF, and you'll see a really interesting schools program coming on that. The Kuro podium events just continually blow us away. The RBSC Adia Bont athletics out of Pretoria is just unbelievable in terms of 20,000-30,000 people at these events and 200,000-300,000 people watching them when we stream and broadcast them. So athletics for me is probably the one that's surprised me the most. And pleasantly so. And I think, you know, the other thing that we probably pride ourselves on is, you know, just the extraordinary athletes that we have in this country. And one thing athletics does is it actually shows us that the athletic ability of South Africans from all communities is exhaustive. It's just extraordinary. And it's probably the reason that we're able to be as good as we are at rugby, in the netball, in the hockey world, and be competitive globally. And not only, you know, as athletes, I mean, you know, I think we're probably having an unprecedented time just watching the Olympics at the moment. The amount of athletes that we're having in events is really very positive. But for those of us who are seeing what's coming, you know, as much as I love Akani Simbine, he knows, and we've had this discussion, there's just talent coming behind him now that's going to filter into the system that we'll see in 28 in LA and on in 32 and things. So the next 8 years, 12 years of athletics in this country is just so exciting for me, both for the boys and the girls.
And that's something that extends across all the sports, the excitement for the next generation. We always talk about the time to shine, all of that. And
absolutely,
we really highlight it, I think, last year in our class of 2023, our end of year show, where we sort of named 250 of the top athletes in the country, chose our top 30 across various sports. This year, the class of 2024, I mean, one of our classes, 2023, I have sitting behind me here in one of these photos, Tumi Ramakgopa.
Tumi Ramakgopa, yeah.
Hurdler, who we've had on the show as well. There's just so much that's to be excited about. I think maybe if we can talk about that class of 2023 and class of 2024, because some of those athletes have gone on to do great things. Some have gone to the Olympics, been selected for national sides.
As you say, I mean, look, the talent that we've seen coming through in so many sports is just so exciting for those of us that are in the world of sport. And I think the good thing is that we're seeing it across all sports. It's not like we look at particular sport and go, oh, you know, where's the next generation coming from? We're just seeing them. You know, we were sitting as a team a few months ago, beginning of the year, and going, well, actually it wasn't the beginning, it was sort of the back end of last year, and going, you know, how do we talk about our business to people, and how do we, you know, what are those sort of catchphrases that we can do? And we have a young lady, Nolwazi Ngubane, in our team who came up with a wonderful one-liner that, you know, that Super Sport Schools is sort of showcasing that World Cups are won 10 years before they played. And when she said it, we didn't quite get what she said. We said, like, what did you just say? And she said, World Cups are won 10 years before they played. And that's what we do at Super Sport Schools. And I think for the whole team, it resonated because we could see what we were watching were those kids who are going to win us Olympic golds, win us World Cups in the next 18 years. And you know, that was soon after the Rugby World Cup. So, you know, I think that it just caught on for all of us as a team. But as you say, it really was also the genesis of what led to a show that we launched last year called the Class of 2023. And the idea of the Class of 23 was to go through most of the sports that we filmed, not all of them, but we certainly got through as many as we could. I think you'll know better because you wrote most of the script, but I think it was 2 hours long.
Yeah.
In total.
About 2 hours.
This year, the good news, we're going to 3 hours, Alex. 3 hours, because it's just too many names. But as you said, 270, I thought it was around 300 odd. Young athletes that we focused on from a whole sort of different sports. And then we picked the class of 30, you know, the 30 young athletes that we thought were really, you know, the next Sia Khaleesi's, the next Akani Simbeans, so that's sort of the class that we went through in picking that 30. And what's amazing, I think out of those 30, Young Mpaka's already represented the South African men's A side, I think, this year, and he's still at school.
IPL.
He's played in the IPL as a cricketer.
Under 19.
Three of the young hockey players, the girls, three of them are at the Olympics currently. As you said, Tumi Ramakgopa is still at school. She's been amazing.
Gone to the Youth Commonwealth Games.
She's gone to Youth Commonwealth Games, you know. So across that spectrum of 30, they've all done incredibly well. I think we picked four footballers. All four have played in the PSL. One has actually been. Jean-Ray Campbell has just been sold into Belgium, and he's just his first year out of school. And then there was one kid who, you know, I'm going to apologize to him now, Bayanda. He's sitting at the Olympics. He's likely to be running the 4x100 meters for us this weekend. He didn't make it last year. I mean, you know, so that just shows you the talent that we were looking at, that here was a youngster. He was probably 17 last year, and it's probably because he was in grade 11 that we were like, we weren't sure. Here he is in the Matricia representing South Africa in the 4x100 meters at the Olympic Games. And he didn't get into our class of 23.
We'll have to
promise you he's going to be in the class of 23.
We'll have to. I'll write him in now.
I have no doubt that he's going to be in the class of 24. And if I just look at the class of 24, you know, as you said, I mean, Young and Parker, Tumi, they'll all be back. Riley Norton, who's gone again and had a fabulous season. It'll be interesting to see whether he leads his Paul Roos team to beat Grey College in 10 days' time or whenever it's coming up in the next couple of weeks.
He'll
see
be playing
whether or not.
He
won't be playing. He'll be playing in the international series. So it'll be interesting to see. But you know, he's had another fabulous rugby season, and I have no doubt we'll see him in the summer playing cricket again as he did last year for South African schools in SA19. So there's just this list of them. And I mean, you know, to be honest, I was chatting to Connie Simbine the other day about the athletes in our class of 24. And he was like saying, he could give me 30 names just from athletics. We don't even need to worry about the other sports. He could just give me 30. And he started reeling them off, and he's not wrong. So it's going to be fun when we get to choose that group. And, you know, if you get left out, you know, again, like I sort of said, it's a tough choice. And sometimes we, you know, we want to mix it up amongst the different sports, and we want to make sure that it's representative across the sort of breadth of our sporting community. We're never going to get everyone right. But we hope that in the show itself, the couple of hundred young athletes that we talk about, and that will give you a good sense of what the future looks like from a South African sport perspective.
November, December, I just have names. I go to sleep at night and I just see the names, because there's just so many of them, and writing about all of them. And everybody we mention in the show gets at least a sentence saying something about them, and a lot of them even more than that. So we really do celebrate a whole lot of people, which is so cool. But you keep talking about Akani. And I want to come back to him, because a lot of people won't know that he actually has a much closer involvement with school athletics. And we've had him on the show before last year. He was telling us about how he wanted, how he was excited for Paris and also looking forward to LA 2028. But he's involved in bringing athletics to our streets as a supplier.
Absolutely. I mean, we originally met Akani. Him and some partners, some business partners of his, have at the time, were a very small streaming business. And we're doing quite a bit around streaming and specifically around athletics. And as I said to you earlier, it was the one thing that we were really like, how do we solve athletics? Because it's hard, and you really needed people from the world of athletics to solve it for you. And between him and his partners, Erwin and Tabu, they came to us, and they really, you know, I'll be forever grateful for them, because they really worked out a lot of the things that we couldn't figure out or didn't know enough about to get right. And they're a big reason that today we have as much athletics on the platform as we can. But off the back of that, they became one of our earliest, what we call our third party producers of sport. And now the most amazing thing, I was actually talking to someone this morning. He has Akani this last weekend. People are talking about him running. I think he's the only third man in history now to run in the Olympic final three times and finished in the top five three times. The only other person is Usain Bolt. But whilst he's been doing that, he's built this extraordinary business that employs somewhere between 75 and 85 people every week. I think 15 or 16 of them are ex-Olympians or international athletes. I mean, it's just extraordinary what's gone on in his ecosystem. They produce all sorts of sport for us from around the country, not only athletics today. And they're just such an important part, you know, and not just them. I mean, we have 40 or 50 other third-party producers that do similar work for us. But we're very proud to have Carney is one of them, and what his, you know, what his team has done, and just to look at a human being like that, you know, these young sportsmen who say, oh, you know, I'm too busy because I'm, you know, I want to be a rugby player or this. I mean, here's a guy running in the 100-meter final that's built a multi-million rand production business with his business partners, providing an unbelievable service all at the same time. And I think that's testament to just who he is.
Yeah. Well, I know we could keep talking about Super Sports Schools for hours and hours. So before we get onto the quiz and the part this is ultimately why I wanted to do this.
The quiz.
Yes, of course. Just some thoughts on the next steps for Super Sports Schools, sort of what you'd like to see in the next year, changes we could be maybe expecting. Just looking to the future.
Look, I think Super Sports Schools, what is the future for it? You know, it continues to be much of the same. We really plan to continue bringing as much school and youth sport as we possibly can to both the channel and to the app. Obviously, you know, there's an ongoing challenge to improve on it all the time, you know, and it's the small things about discoverability, about, you know, distribution, you know, how we deal with what we call the last mile issues. The last mile issues for us are affected largely by power. And luckily, you know, the last few months have been pretty good, although we had a few challenges this last weekend around the country.
Able to ask you about some of the challenges, but I think maybe
we just got to keep working around, you know, and we found some ways to get around them. So power is certainly one of them. You know, as soon as you lose power, you lose power. And, you know, when you're producing at scale that we are, we can't have generators, and you just can't have that
much. At 1,000 matches, it's just not possible.
You know, on a weekend, it's just impossible. And then connectivity, you know, the reality is most people don't understand that, you know, if you take us as a streaming business compared to a Netflix, to put it in simple terms, a Netflix is like a library. You know, there's just all these things sitting there, and you go into your app and you just pull down what you want to watch. What makes our lives challenging is that we're streaming at the same time that you're pulling down. And so if there's any connectivity issues at source where we are, or connectivity issues where you are, that stream can be interrupted. And, you know, often I get people say, oh, you know, my app is crashed. And I go, well, what's wrong with it? No, it's going to say, well, the app hasn't crashed. I mean, you know, if the app crashes, we know it's crashed for twice for 45 minutes in the last 3 years. Both on Monday night, stream Varsity Cup Rugby, interestingly enough, and nothing to do with the amount of viewers on it, just simply issues that's happening around the world. And, you know, you're very reliant on servers and things like that, and it just happened. But connectivity is a massive challenge for us. So, but, you know, that's a challenge that we've got to keep overcoming, and we're always looking at better ways of doing things and how we can improve on that and discoverability, you know, user experience on the app. The one thing that the app has, you know, today there's over 1,000 matches available on the app on video on demand. I don't think, well, I'm pretty sure, I know that there's not a sports app in the world that has that much available content for video on demand. So we've got some decisions to make about what we keep there and what we'll do. I mean, I think certainly for matches that we perhaps take off the app, we'll make sure available via a YouTube channel or elsewhere, that people can at least go and look them up. So that'll continue to be important. You know, as we spoke earlier, the ecosystem for us is growing. We're really investigating a lot around sort of music and entertainment. So much of what we see at schools is a vibrant arts and culture scene going on, and we'd love to get involved in it a bit more. Music rights have been quite difficult for us there, so we're looking at how we can manage the music rights issues so that we can safely do more music and showcase. You know, we talk about athletic and sporting talent in this country. There's musical talent that, when we have done it, I actually think we're better on that front than the sporting front. I mean, the talent that just exists in schools in this country around music and arts and culture is just, it's just ridiculous in terms of what's there. So we'll look to grow that out. We, you know, we're investigating things like, is there a place for a stream Super Sport Schools radio channel that'll, you know, work in with that music space? And it's something that we're investigating. So, you know, that'll be part of the evolution. I think, as we spoke earlier, commentary for us is one big one that we really want to get involved in. We want to get a lot more young people involved in commentary where we can. And then probably in time also starting to work a lot closer with federations, coaches and teams like that, and how do they use the tech and the content for analysis and coaching and all those sort of purposes. And there's a lot of work to be done there. We haven't even scratched the surface. You know, we've been quite good at getting content to sort of grade 11s and matrics who are looking to get video content to put CVs together for scholarships and bursaries at universities in South Africa, but also around the world. For rugby players and footballers and people who are looking to get it to agents. You know, we'll continue to work that out and you know, try and be able to provide a better service to people in terms of that. But I think most importantly, we just want to continue to embrace the school and youth sport environment that exists in South Africa and support schools and clubs in helping them. And one of the ways that we're really having some success there is helping them have a better commercial product so they can get bigger and more sponsors and that can fund more and more sports events and various things. Because the one thing, Alex, we have in this country, we have the most extraordinary school sport environment. I don't think people understand just how amazing our school sport environment is. And, you know, I think it's credit to the headmasters, the teachers, the coaches that are out in the schools around this country, that the extraordinary job they do week in and week out. And, you know, I've just been looking at hockey. You know, hockey in this country is up against it. It's in a continent where they don't have enough international competition. We're very far from Europe and a lot of the other hockey playing nations, but we can send a men's and women's team to the Olympics. I mean, our women's team were just fabulous at this Olympics, doing so well against some international opposition, most of which had hundreds and hundreds more caps than they do in international experience and training ability. But the only reason we can do it, quite frankly, is because of our school system, because we are just bringing through so many talented hockey players that are well coached, relatively well conditioned, that they can go to something like the Olympics and play at the highest level on a very unequal sort of basis and be competitive. And, you know, we just want to be more and more part of that.
Exciting things for next year. I think always the Super Sport School story is an exciting one. And I can't wait to see all of this happen. And every single day, it's exciting to be part of Super Sport Schools. So I'm excited to see what the next year holds, but it's now time for
the dreaded quiz.
You to go up against the quiz that I've spent hours laboring over every question. Not really. It's the usual quiz, a mix of questions about school sports. There are a couple thrown in just for you. So we'll see if you can spot
my
those.
My areas of speciality.
Yes. Some that are, we did some research as well in talking to a few of the family members. So there might be one or two questions in there that surprise you. Hopefully in a good way. 60 seconds on the clock. Answer as many as you can correctly. If you don't know an answer, just say pass. And yeah, the high score at the moment is 8.
So, is it still Tahira, or was that last year?
No, Tahira last year was 13.
So who am I chasing? Who's
You are chasing Bridget Key from Supersport Schools.
Easy ones.
And Nick Holden from ACGL, from eSports.
I know Nick well.
So those are the two sitting on 8 at the moment. All right.
Sure.
Are you ready?
Okay. I'm ready.
You ready to play the Supersport Schools podcast quiz? Let me get 60 seconds on my clock, and your time starts now. According to their laws, in how many ways can a batter be dismissed in cricket?
It would be a batsman, not a batter. 8.
10. How many tries have been scored against the Springboks in World Cup finals?
None.
1. Kanti Pakamile was the joker in the pack for the class of 2023, but what name is he better known by?
Mr. Scrumptious.
Correct. At Nuit Sait this year, Jeppy stunned the nation by defeating Great College, but how many points did they win by?
3.
Correct. Name the KZN school that claims on its website to have produced 330 international sportsmen.
That must be Maritzburg College.
Correct. In chess, how many pawns does each player start with?
8.
That's correct. I'm told that you and your friends once had a darts league, but what was your nickname?
Wow. I have no idea. I know I've got a shirt with it on. Don't know.
Tentative Monty. Who won gold for the 2024 Olympic tennis men's singles?
Who won gold for the 20 men's singles?
Yes.
Men's singles. Australia?
Men's singles.
Oh, tennis. Women, sorry. Novak Djokovic.
Yes. I'll give it to you. On the buzzer there, let's just add that up quickly. So 5. Which is
not my best.
It's about average.
Tentative Monty. You've been talking to Cup and Richard Snell, no doubt.
We had to throw in something different. But yeah, 10 modes of dismissal in cricket. You only see about 5 or 6.
No, if I counted them out, I think I would have got there. But
if you can say all 10, we can give you a bonus point.
Well, there's bowl and court and LBW and run out and stumped and timed out and obstructing the field. I've got timed out, eh?
Looks like you're stuck on the 7. You haven't said hit wicket.
Oh, hit wicket.
Hit wicket. You've said obstructing the field.
Yeah.
Hit the ball twice.
Oh, I hit the ball twice. Oh, yeah. Just.
And I can't remember.
Often given out.
How many of them you've said. If you said retired out.
Oh, retired out. Of course. Retired That's out. The team.
Yep. Yes, yep. I think so. But there. So no bonus points. No, down on 5.
I should know that better.
But there we go. Finally, we've had you on the show. So thanks so much for coming on and talking about Supersport Schools. I know we haven't been able to talk about everything. We could have a 3-hour seminar, but we'll have to get you on again. Hopefully this isn't maybe a one-off.
In 60 shows time, like, I think there's a lot of people you can get to talk to in this space.
At the 100th
talk to me.
Show. Well, we'll need you to come back to have another go at the quiz, but yeah.
Exactly.
Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Thanks for joining us for another episode of the Supersport Schools podcast brought to you by Spur. The new episodes every Sunday at 6 on Supersport Schools channel 216. So make sure you tune in next week, and I'll see you then. But for now, bye-bye.
This has been the Supersport Schools podcast, bringing you stories of our future stars, powered by Spur Steak Ranchers.